3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there.
For the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for coming back. Big podcast today. Not only are we going to talk about a Mariners win, knocking the Astros out of the wild card, at least for the moment. Ouch. I mean, they have held on to a playoff position all season long, but the wake up today, now out. A half game out of the wild card spot. I mean, they've been in first place for just about the entire season. They've held a playoff spot for just about the entire season, but the Angels with 7 wins in a row, now a half game up on the Astros, and the Twins now a game and a half back of the Angels for the second wild card spot. So today's game becomes even bigger now for the Astros as they try and take that spot back. But the Mariners win last night, pretty dramatic win. We'll talk about that. Also coming up, Jared Oppoto introduced as the Mariners general manager yesterday. Tomorrow we're going to hear a one-on-one with him, but today I'm just going to roll out his entire press conference. You'll hear a statement from President Kevin Mather, and you'll hear the entire press conference from yesterday. You'll hear a statement from Jared Oppoto, and he's going to answer a range of questions, and I think it's incredibly informative, and I think you'll like what you hear. There's a lot of things that certainly I latched onto during the press conference. I loved when he talked about fitting the ballpark in terms of the way you build this team, athleticism, pitch and catch. I mean, that's a formula to win, and it's a formula to win at Safeco Field. I think that is tremendously exciting. Also talking about the depth, trying to get more depth to the rotation, more depth to the roster, and really supplement the stars and some of the veteran players they have right now. I really liked a lot of the things that you're going to hear, and that comes up in a few minutes. But the game last night, and tip of the cap to Vidal Nuño, who was pitching on, well, not full rest. And he gave the Mariners 5 innings of 3-run ball. And as the Mariners really run out of starters this season for a variety of reasons, some injuries, some shutdown like Taijuan Walker, Vidal Nuño, one of the few left standing, and he's had to really carry a load here towards the end of the season. But he goes 5 innings and gave the Mariners a chance to win this one. As the Mariners, well, Houston scores in the first inning, but the Mariners get 2 back in the first inning.
3-1 to Cruz, swinging a line shot in left center field, on the run, moving over Gonzalez to make the catch, tagging a third, Marte heading home, he'll score, standing up, and the ball gets on by Hank Conger. Game tied at 1. Kyle Seager will go from second to third as the ball gets on by Conger.
Okay, that was a Nelson Cruz sack fly. Not only did it score a run, and I should get Aaron Goldsmith on to talk about this, because this is his stat that he totally dug up, and I think it's pretty amazing. But this was the first sacrifice fly from Nelson Cruz this year. And in his research, he found only one other player who went an entire season with 40-plus home runs without a sacrifice fly. And that was Adam Dunn. So Nelson Cruz nearly became just the second major leaguer to hit 40-plus and not have a sacrifice fly in a season. Now, his research led to some other fascinating stats where sacrifice flies didn't exist before 1953. So you really start to noodle on, wow, how does that change some of the numbers from, take your pick, Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, guys like that, when the sacrifice fly didn't exist. I think this is something that warrants more discussion. So at some point, I think we'll have Aaron on and we'll hash this over, because I think it's pretty interesting in a number of ways. But Nelson Cruz, the sacrifice fly, the Mariners score 2 runs there in the first inning. They have the lead. Houston strikes for 2 more in the fifth. So at that point, they're leading 3-2. They tack on 1 more in the sixth. It is 4-2. But Robinson Cano, a 2-run blast in the sixth inning.
First pitch, he swings and drives it. This is barreled up right center field. It is gone. First pitch, Robinson Cano. There's nothing left but threads on that baseball. We are all tied up. It's a two-run, two-out shot to right center off of Fires. Mariners and the Astros even at four.
And it stayed tied until the eighth inning when the Mariners begin to threaten the Houston Astros in the eighth. So this is how it's set up. Cruz grounded out to third, and then Cano would fly out to center. So two down in the eighth inning. Seth Smith would single to right field, and then Trumbo would single to right. Smith would go to third. Gutierrez would walk. So the bases loaded for Sean O'Malley.
And the 2-2 pitch, swinging a line drive into left center field for a base hit. Here comes Smith on the score. Trumbo running third. Heading home. The throw to the plate by Marisnik. Gets on by Conger. Trumbo scores. Around to third goes Gutierrez. Sean O'Malley will get into second base. A two-run single for Sean O'Malley. And the Mariners have the lead here in the bottom of the eighth.
There it is, Sean O'Malley coming through with a big base hit. The Mariners take the lead. And Tom Wilhelmsen, he came on early, and he would close it down. An inning and two-thirds for Tom Wilhelmsen to get the win.
The 1-2 to Springer on the way. Swing and a fly ball into right field. Easy play. Seth Smith is there. Waits, and he makes the catch, and the Mariners win it. A final score of 6-4, and they snap the six-game losing streak. And with the win, the Mariners knocked the Astros out of the number two wild card spot.
So nice win for the M's, devastating loss for the Astros. And here was what Sean O'Malley had to say after the ball game about it.
Yeah, laid off a few, so you know, I knew he had some good sink to his fastball. So I was just waiting to be patient, see if I can get a ball up in the zone that I could handle and put back up the middle. And luckily with two strikes, I was able to get it done.
Did you face them before?
Yeah, I think I faced him in Houston when the first game I started. I got a jam shot knock off him to right. So, yeah, I was familiar with some of the stuff he had, and fortunately it turned out good.
One time was enough that you'd seen him?
Yeah. And, you know, Edgar gave me a good scouting report and told me things to look for. So I went up there with a game plan, stuck with it, and it paid off.
I think being a switch, though, and batting from the left side against him is a big advantage because he's tough on righties.
Yeah, you know, I think it has. I can stay inside of his pitches a lot better. I can fight off that two-seamer and, you know, not get all of it, but, you know, get a hit out of it if I, you know, need be, or I can at least put the ball in play.
You got a nice little ovation there, too, as you're coming back to the dugout.
What's that?
You got a nice little ovation there from the fans as you're coming back to the dugout. You notice that?
No. I didn't notice. I think I was just in the zone, locked in. I wasn't really paying attention, but thanks. I mean, that's great. I'm glad they loved it. I mean, I sure did. So, yeah, it was really, really nice.
Did you guys have an opportunity to meet the new GM today, who I'm sure you have a little familiarity with?
Yeah, he came in and, you know, had a few words to say for a little bit. And, yeah, but I previously knew Jerry. He's a great guy, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to see what he can do here and, you know, hopefully get us in the playoffs next year.
Do they have any kind of message for you?
You know, just he wants to have a loose clubhouse, and I think he said on the radio today, too, you know, he's not coming in to change a whole lot, but just, you know, bits and pieces here and there, which, you know, is always, it's never a bad thing for some change, but, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can do and, you know, get to the playoffs and, you know, play in that atmosphere.
All right, we're going to hear from Jerry DePoto in just a second, but the Mariners will take on the Astros. Game 3 tonight, Scott Kazmir for Houston. Johnny Allstaff going for the Mariners. It is going to be all hands on deck for the M's, and then an off day tomorrow, and then the Oakland A's come in for three games to end this season. But right now, we're going to hear the entire thing, the press conference yesterday from Jerry DePoto, and it's going to start with a statement from team president Kevin Mather.
And thank you for being here on short notice, although I've learned there aren't a whole lot of secrets in this industry. But thank you for being here. Today's a big day. Today's an exciting day for the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners baseball team got better today. As you know, last month, after much contemplation, we decided to make a change in our general manager to find a new architect, if you will. Since that day, I've worked almost nonstop full-time on this process, on this search. I called the commissioner's office, talked to executives at the commissioner's office. I talked to members of the player relations department, assistant general managers and general managers. Often, you know, who do they work with on a daily basis? I thought they'd be a good resource. I talked to Major League Baseball owners. I talked to Major League Baseball club presidents. I talked to numerous general managers, numerous presidents of baseball operations, if you will, scouting directors, and numerous scouts I've gotten to know in my 26 years in professional baseball. I learned an awful lot. I should say I confirmed an awful lot. One, Seattle is a well-respected, well-thought-of baseball market. People think very, very highly of this organization. Some of the quotes, you should be winning more. I thank them for that. A great opportunity for someone. You will no doubt get the best candidates for this opportunity. Second, I learned or confirmed, of the hundreds of baseball operations people I talked to, they all said, without exception, the general manager's job has grown in the last decade enormously. You need balance. You need a four-legged stool, if you will. So with some sarcasm, you need old-fashioned scouting. You need player development. You need analytics. And you need good administration. In short, you need a talented guy who's smart enough to surround himself with talented people. Third, I learned, or I would rather say confirmed, that our team has a very good core to build on. There's opportunities here to get this team winning and back to the playoffs quickly. We have holes, we need some roster changes, but we are not far off. And finally, I learned or confirmed that Seattle is a great baseball city. Great city, great fans, great ballpark, and opposing general managers never miss this road trip. They like it here. All of that said, I had upwards of 40 candidates at the beginning of this process. Phone calls, references, trusted baseball people, and I pared the list to 10. I called, asked permission from the clubs, as you do in baseball. I asked permission, and with one exception, I received permission for all of them. There are, unfortunately or fortunately for them, some assistant general managers around baseball who are getting promotions, raises, and new titles today because of those permission calls. And some, due to legitimate family reasons, family concerns, they said, great opportunity. I wish you would have called 5 years from now, but I can't do it now. And they were legitimate. And so all of that said, I ended up with 6 great candidates. I interviewed them all. I brought 3 back to meet with our chairman, Howard Lincoln, our chairman emeritus, John Ellis, and 2 key members of our ownership group. All 3 candidates spent an entire day in Seattle. All 3 were excellent candidates, and I could have hired any one of the 3. But one stood out above all else. His experience, his philosophy regarding a long-term sustainable baseball, winning baseball team, his management style, and his references throughout baseball, throughout the league. I recommended to Howard Lincoln. Howard agreed. And let me introduce the new leader of our baseball department, our executive vice president and general manager, Jerry DePoto.
Welcome aboard. Appreciate it. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. First, I'd like to say thank you to Kevin, both for the introduction and this great opportunity, as well as reaching out and saying thank you to Howard, to John, for the time you've taken to spend with me since I've been here in town, and for what I hope are many years to come. So to those in the room that I know, hello. To those that I know, I think I'm going to get to know you a little better than I have before. And I am thrilled to be here. I brought with me my wife and daughter, Tammy and Jordan, in that order. I have 2 other children that weren't able to make it today. They had better things to do, it appears. But also college kids that are doing their own thing right now. But thrilled to have my family with me and very thankful that they've been a part of the journey. like Kevin, I've been in the game a fairly long time, 27 seasons now, in a lot of different roles, and this is one that I am thrilled to undertake. This is a dream job for me, to come to Seattle, a terrific city, a great region. It's my favorite ballpark in baseball. Like I said outside when we walked out this morning, just a timeless facility, really is. And whoever designed it did a fantastic job. I think now it's time to create a baseball foundation for a team that is worthy of playing in this facility. So I look forward to the challenges. There will be challenges. I say this every day, so I'll say it to you today. I don't know what mistake I'm going to make today, but I'm going to make one. I'm going to make one tomorrow, too. I just hope they're not very big mistakes. And, you know, we'll learn to minimize those, maximize the successes, and find a way to make this organization a championship organization, and then to sustain that. I think my baseball philosophy is to build flexibility, build versatility, create balance, and that will lead to sustainability. Believe that starts today. As Kevin said, the foundation here is fantastic. You know, elite-level players like Felix Hernandez and Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz and Kyle Seager, to say the least, young guys like Brad Miller and Mike Zunino and Chris Taylor, who I do think, you know, Ketel Marte, were really solid pieces to the future building, and a guy that I think has a chance to shoot the moon in Taiwan Walker. It is a really nice group of young players, and our job as a baseball operation will be to surround that group with as good a foundational core as we can and create as much balance on the roster as possible. And, you know, I know many of you are going to have questions about where we go from here. I'm hoping that I can answer all of them. But what I can tell you is that we want to create a model here that is something that can be sustained year in and year out, where we have a steady flow of young players coming from a minor league system. Don't want to quarter that off to just through the drafts. You know, you get young players from a lot of different avenues. You get them via the draft and international signs. Right now, the doors are wide open on the international professional player, the Cuban markets in the Far East. They are important to tap into. You also acquire these players via trade. You know, you can create a farm system, so to speak, via trade, and create multiple layers of player in your system, and I'm looking forward to that challenge. I think it's something of an area I've excelled at in the past, and I believe we'll do it again here. There'll be areas where we improve quickly. There'll be other areas where it's going to require some time, and you know, minor league player development takes a little bit of time. That's a slow build, and it takes time for that to develop. Major league roster foundation is here, and what we need to do is work in the in between. And as I said during my visit with Lloyd McClendon yesterday, which I would consider to be a very positive meeting with Lloyd and I said to Lloyd, my style is to allow somebody else to focus on what's happening in the showroom, and we'll go back and work in the engine room and make sure that we're building an organization that can do great things and can continue to do great things. I don't have much more to say in terms of what my general game plan is. I hope I can be more specific in answering your questions. I'm just really thrilled to be here and look forward to the future of Mariners baseball, and believe that we are going to achieve great things together. I've inherited a great group of people in a baseball operation. Inevitably, there will be change, and others will join us. And my goal is to take all the goodness that exists here, and we'll bind together and create greatness together. So with that, I guess I'll open it up to questions unless somebody else has a thought.
Gary, Lloyd mentioned yesterday that you're energetic, intelligent, dynamic, and forward-thinking. Are those enough nice words for him to keep his job?
Yeah, I think I'm all those things, but there's, you know, my wife may argue on a given day. My time yesterday with Lloyd was great, and Lloyd's a great baseball guy. He's been around the game for a long time. I've come across Lloyd many times in our career journeys. I've never spent much time with him. So I think the fair answer to that question is this week will be a very important one for Lloyd and I to spend time together. We decided that we will spend time each day, sit down and talk, mostly get to know one another's baseball, for lack of a better way to put it. Personality-wise, I think, and as I think we both found out yesterday, we're not going to have a problem getting along. That's we seem to hit it off pretty good, and that doesn't scare me in the least. Lloyd's a good person. I think he's had a challenging career path to get here, and deserves consideration for anything moving forward. But, you know, it's the best marriages are those in which you fall in love and then get married, rather than someone arranging it from 1,000 miles away. So it will take the time to get to know one another, and I look forward to that.
On that note, though, the way things ended in Anaheim, how important is it for you in this position to bring in your own guy?
I wouldn't say bring in my own guy is critically important. To have someone that I believe in, that I trust, who trusts me and believes in what I'm doing is terrifically important. And I think that's the foundation to all that you do. You know, in this game, and particularly the position that I hold, you communicate up and you communicate down, and you have to communicate laterally. And, you know, to me, the manager of the Major League team, more than any other, is a partner. We are partners in what we are doing in building an organization and in trying to create a dynamic that puts players in a position in which they can succeed day in and day out. That's his job and that's my job. And when we do it together, we'll succeed. When there's a divide, we're going to have problems. So, you know, over the course of the next week or so, we'll get to know each other a little better, and I'm sure we'll be more comfortable answering that question sooner rather than later.
How does your time in the division help with some of those conversations in the evaluation process?
I think a great deal. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have been in this division the last 4 years. Seeing the Mariners play 19 times a year is sometimes been more fun than others, to be honest with you. You know, I like it a lot better when Felix isn't pitching. On the opposing side, I think I'll enjoy it the other way this time. But obviously, we get to see the club a lot, get a feel for how the ballpark plays. You know, I think that's a real important aspect, particularly here. You know, Safeco Field is a pitcher-friendly environment. It does require a degree of athleticism to cover the ground. It's an expansive ballpark. And, you know, as I said to Kevin and Howard through the course of my interview process, you know, like most other teams, the Mariners are going to win when they pitch it, when they catch it, and when they run it down. It's a unique environment, but I think the narrative is that you can't hit in Safeco Field. I don't believe that to be true. They're hitting right now. It's a matter of finding the right hitters who fit this ballpark well and the right players who create a roster. I think some of that element or a lot of that element already exists, and we're going to go out and find the pieces that accent or augment that group.
Jerry, how did you explain to Kevin and Howard what the breakdown was in Anaheim that led to your departure?
Just this. I mean, the same thing that I've said publicly each time I've been asked about it is I believe my decision to leave the Angels was in the best interest of the Angels, was in my best interests, and I left it at that. You know, we have in life we have decisions to make, and I'm heavily invested in many of the players on the Angels roster and the organization in total as part of the architecture group that put it together. It's important to me, and a lot of the people that are there, including the players on the field, will always be important to me. But sometimes it's just right to move on for everybody's benefit and for the growth of everyone, and that was the right thing for me to do with the Angels, and I think all will agree, and we'll all be happy for it.
When there's that much attention around a breakdown like that and your departure, did you worry about the possibility of gaining another opportunity like this?
No, I mean, it's a commitment you make, and it's a belief in yourself. And, you know, I feel like that the way things ended for me in Anaheim with the Angels, it will not define my career. It is a moment in my career. I've given up some long homers in my day. I've also had some key strikeouts. Unfortunately, a little more of the long homer version than the key strikeouts. But you know, you go through ups and downs in a career, and you know, I consider my time in Anaheim to have been more up than down. You know, we achieved a lot of good things. 2014, we led the league in wins. Over the course of the time there, we won 54% of the time and put ourselves in position to be a competitive club year in and year out. And I'm proud of that. And now I will let them move on with their lives, and I will move on with a new start here with the Mariners, and I look forward to what the future brings.
Jerry, you talk about a sustainable organization, but Kevin had also mentioned that he believes this big league team can contend in the next 2 to 3 years. Do you share that belief? And if so, how close is it?
Oh, I think every team can contend. You know, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be a competitor. But, you know, the quality of the player on this team, I ran through a couple of the names. You know, if you put together the elements of what is required to be a contending club, I think the one that we are missing right now is just a general roster depth. You know, the lineup needs to be a little bit longer. The rotation needs to be a little bit deeper. The bullpen needs to have more layers than it presently has. You know, and that's something that through hard work, through good scouting, through the use of proper analytics, you can turn over a couple of rocks and find a guy here and there, and you can create the depth in a roster that allows you to be competitive quickly. It's something in a number of stops along the way I've been successful or part of successful groups in achieving. And, you know, I look forward to the challenges. And whether it be through, you know, primary market, you know, free agent trade acquisitions or secondary market deals, you know, waivers, smaller trades, minor league deals, you can come up with a very creative roster balance that will allow this team to contend now. And I believe that the core quality of the core group screams for it. You've got too many good players to believe that you're far away from winning.
Background in scouting, you have player. You also, there was the talk about the analytics. How do you balance all of that from your background and what you go forward with your philosophy?
If those are the three, hopefully 33.3% apiece, you know, that'd be my easy answer. I like to be balanced in all that I do. And that is, I want to find a way to every decision we make, draw from each of those buckets. And rely on the good people around you to advise you when you're not drawing from one in the right dose. So, you know, if we are making a decision, we will consider all elements. We're going to consider the quality of the player, the age of the player, the way he fits on a roster, the way he's performed, the trends that suggest what may come next for him, his health. I could go on and on. All of these things need to be considered before we make any type of decision on a player, up to and including extending that player through his time with the Mariners. And all these decisions are a collaborative effort. And as Kevin said, you know, I think any more baseball front offices, I've had now the ability, you know, first in Arizona and then in Anaheim to chair a front office group. And it takes a village. You have to bring in good people. You have to surround yourself with smart people. And as I said to Lloyd yesterday, my goal is to sit in a group where everyone around me is smarter than I am, is prettier than I am, and knows what to do, and then rely on them to help me make good decisions.
Jerry, how did the interview process this time differ from when you interviewed for the Mariners job before, and how much more ready do you think you are now than you were back then, 5 or 6 years ago?
I'll answer in reverse. I think the easy answer to how much more ready I am for the job is infinitely. Infinitely, you're going to run into as roadblocks on the journey that you just can't anticipate until you've done the job. That was pretty evident to me. You know, I took over the Diamondbacks in the summer of 2010 on July 2nd and was thrown into the heat of the July trade deadline when we were an organization that was tearing down and getting ready to rebuild. And you want to talk about sticking a fire hose in your mouth. That was one of those moments where you think you're ready, you think you have the training, and then you learn within 4 weeks that it's a little more difficult than you might have expected. So where I am today as opposed to where I was 7 years ago in my career, my ability to handle more things and manage more of the package, eons ahead. I can't even put a number on it. It's that big. The question as to how the process differed this time as opposed to last time, not a great deal. I think last time it was a very thorough process. I met with Chuck and with Howard and you know, had the pleasure of going through multiple layers of interview. And, you know, this time Kevin was involved greatly. And first we met alone, and then we came in, and as he said, we met with a variety of others. And what I've encountered in my time with the Mariners, both present and past, is that I've not met anyone here who's just not a genuinely nice person who seems to have a very good idea of what they want the organization to be. And most importantly, the thing that I hear from everyone I talk to, from the people around the stadium to the leaders in the organization, is how badly they want to deliver a winner to this region, to this fan base, and in this ballpark. And, you know, I that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for, is to join that fray and to make it happen. And we will.
What about your experience in Anaheim taught you on how to manage the manager?
That it needs to be a partnership. Managing people, working with people, the ability to get along, to convey a message, and to lead has never been an area where I feel like I've come short. And you know, sometimes personalities get in the way, and I think the general narrative or the popular narrative is that Mike and I were constantly at war during my time with the Angels. That's the furthest thing from the truth. And I think Mike will also share that belief as well. And, you know, like many managers and general managers, we had disagreements in certain areas, and we agreed on a lot of things along the way as well. And like I said, when I mapped out, we had some success along the way as well, and some failure. So, you know, we grew together, we learned together. At every day that I'm in this game, I'm learning something new. I'm learning a new trick on how to manage from my position to others. And I hope that's true of the people around me. I don't think that's an area where I've been short. The only thing I can say is that the skill set or the personality traits that I came into life with, I still possess today, and that's the way I'm going to act tomorrow. I am who I am.
Kevin, you brought in a new GM, and you've got this here. Are you going to keep the payroll and all the level that you've been, or even go up for next year?
A good question. I take my job as to set the goal, and our fan base and this organization should be playing playoff baseball. So I've set the goal. I brought the right guy in to do that and handle it. I'm going to hold him accountable, but I'm also going to give him resources to do that. And those resources, if there's ever a time where I'm going to push those resources and get everything I can get to him as a resource, now's the time. So no answer on payroll, but we're pushing hard to find resources to make sure we can go get back to playoff baseball.
Gary, how much autonomy do you expect to have? And Kevin, how much autonomy will Gary have?
I'll answer first. Kevin Howard, all of the people I've met here have assured me that I have the autonomy to make the decisions for the baseball operation, and that's an important element. You know, if every decision that we make has so many tentacles that reach in so many different areas, that it is you do have to have an understanding of what you're able to manage and control, and as Kevin said, I will be held accountable for the decisions that I make. And in the worst of times, I am 100% inclusive in what I do. And we will develop a process where everybody is aware of what we're doing, and nothing will come as a surprise. So if something happens along the way where a decision goes awry, and it will, I promise you that, it will be understood why we did something. And I'll let Kevin answer his on his own.
My goal is don't surprise me. Don't surprise me, don't surprise our owners, but all things baseball come through Jerry's department. And you know, from major league decisions all the way down to, as I said a month ago, down to the bat boy in the Dominican. That's his area, he's in charge.
Jerry, based on everything you've said today and your experience with past organizations, how important is it for any organization to have continuity between the general manager and the manager's chair?
I think terrifically important, you know, but there are heavy trends in the game. You can see them playing out, and you have to be aware of what those trends are. You have to be aware of what the advantages and disadvantages of each decision you make in terms of staffing, whether it be in the dugout with the manager and coaching staff or throughout your organization. Sometimes change is not a bad thing, but it's not always a good thing. And it's nothing to rush into. Make every decision after having carefully thought out all the different possibilities and objectives. And I think I do trust the people around me to make good decisions. I do trust the existing foundation in the Mariners front office to help me make good decisions. And I do trust my own judgment in going down and sitting with the people downstairs and getting to know their baseball and who they are and what they're about. And that is the very clear message I would like to send. It's just about our baseball. We're going to get along just fine personally. That's the least of my concerns.
So based on that, how is that going to impact who you pick or retain as your next manager? If you have any doubt at all that this is going to last more than another year or two, do you have to listen to that right away, or do you have to have a vision of a guy lasting 5 years with you?
I mean, the perfect. I hope this is the day. You know, that today is the day that I've had my last press conference, that I retire a Mariner after multiple World Series championships and having built a great organization with one manager.
Now, me too.
I hope that happens. and any decision that I make, that will be the goal. And, you know, I say this, and it's going to sound a little bit goofy, but every day that I wake up, I want to be as great a parent as I can be. I want to be as great a husband as I can be. I want to be the best general manager I can be. That affords me a goal to go create something. And I want to hire the greatest manager that's ever managed. You know, it's a tall order, but that's what I want to do. And I think the idea that Lloyd is here, that a staff is in place, that a team is ready to go compete, all of those things will be taken into consideration, and I am in no rush to judge. We'll take our time to make a careful, well-thought-out decision.
Jerry, as a former player, what's been the evolution of your knowledge and belief in statistical analysis? You know, a lot of players don't buy into that.
You know, it's funny. While I was playing, it was well before what you would consider to be the statistical revolution and the way the game has evolved over time. I believe when I was playing, and this at one point was confirmed for me as fact, I was the only active player who was also an active member of Sabre. On multiple occasions, I actually spoke at one of their functions in Denver while I was still an active player and served as a keynote speaker at a couple of their events. I've always been interested in it. I'm a baseball junkie, always have been. I fancy myself a historian, or some have told me that's the case. I think the game has evolved in ways that we could not have possibly imagined. I wish I would have known to really focus more in the world of mathematics than in communications. But one's serving me okay now. And I think I've listened to the right people. I've had a chance to work with a lot of really smart people through the course of my time in baseball that have turned me on to what is fact. It is fact. And, you know, it's helped to craft a belief. And a very smart baseball person once said to me, you know, when making any decision on a baseball field, you have to consider what you see and what you know. You know, what we see is the player playing out in front of us, and what we know is what he's done, and what we can do is then come up with some general understanding of what he may do moving forward based on all of the elements we talked about earlier. You know, the age of the player, the health of the player, et cetera, the ballpark he plays in. There's so many key elements. But if you're not using the analysis that's available to you, information is king. If you've got information, you've got the key to the universe. And if we're not using it, we will.
You talked about the manager a lot. You also have scouting and player personnel. You can save time and you have vacation, but you also have a lot of balls you're going to be juggling here. How do you balance things here in the next month or so? And will you be looking, you know, outside the organization for some of those positions?
Sure. I mean, to answer, again, the last question first, absolutely. I'm sure people will come join the organization that aren't here presently. I'm also 100% sure that many of the people you see here today are going to be key figures as we move forward. There's a good group of people here that just need an opportunity to spread their wings. And I think from scouting through the front office, through the baseball operation, there's a lot of talent currently on here with the Mariners that exists beyond the field. And, you know, I intend to create an environment that allows for their inclusion in the decision making. I do think there are areas of need, and we'll address those as we move forward. I have had a fair amount of experience in the game and scouting and player development particularly, and I have some ideas on how that should be run. As I said during my sit down with Jeff Kingston yesterday, I've got some ideas. Some of them are really bad, and I would like you to tell me which ones they are. But I think some of them are steady and proven, and I intend for those decisions to stabilize an organization. And inevitably, we will look outside to solve a few needs, and we will also look internally to allow people to grow and spread their wings.
Do you have a timetable to get all that stuff done? I mean, is there?
No, I'm a professional juggler. You know, I think ideally what you would like to do is before the meeting season begins, you know, so if, let's call it second week of November, before the meeting season begins, you want to have your organization in a healthy place where you have taken care of the engine room. You know, baseball contracts typically run through October 31st, and that is scouting and player development related. You want to restructure whatever you're going to restructure by that point. You want to have the pick of the litter, so to speak, and the people that you can access, and you also the people who are not going to be involved in it. You want to have a clear understanding. That gives me more than a month to sit down with people and find out what they're about. And like I said, as it pertains to Lloyd McClendon, to the major league staff, etc., the best thing we can do is spend time together and get to know one another before making any kind of rash judgment.
Jerry, you call yourself a baseball historian. Was there an event or a person that influenced you into becoming such a student of baseball?
You know, I don't know that there was ever an event. I grew up I was attracted to baseball very early in my life. I think the When you're writing the essay on what you want to be when you grow up, I didn't think there was another option but being a baseball player amidst the laughter. But it worked out for me. And I grew up a baseball fan. I grew up in an area before, satellite TV in the Northeast, where we had the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, all accessible. I could watch games every single day. When one was playing a night game, the other might be playing in the daytime. And I was fortunate enough to have a family. My dad would take us up and go watch ball games, and you know it worked out, and it's been a great journey. Wouldn't give any of it back. I love the game. I love the history, and intend to create some. I think that's part of the fun in the jobs that we do. I've often described myself as the kid who sits on the floor with a bucket of Legos. And I want to build the prettiest castle that can be built. And until the last block is in the castle, I won't settle. And the people who work for me know that. And we have enjoyed the time together. We want to build something great. Hopefully it's more sustainable than a Lego castle, but we'll get to that. And baseball to me is the fiber that binds. It may sound hokey. It's the fiber that binds the America. You know, as long as I've been alive. It's all that I've wanted to do. It's the only job I've had in my adult life. I have pumped gas and loaded trucks as summer jobs somewhere along the way as a kid. But as an adult, this is what I've done, and it's what I intend to do. Love the players that play. I love the managers that manage, and I love the people that make organizations what they are. And hopefully, together, we'll do something great.
Who's your favorite player of all time?
Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver. Prince Valiant. And he's been great to me. Actually, I wish my son was here to hear that question. His middle name is Seaver, and he hopefully one day he has permission from Tom to wear number 41 if he ever pitches for the Mets, so he's got that going for him.
Jerry, why were you unsuccessful in persuading Artie Moreno to not sign Josh Hamilton, or did you think that was a good idea?
Yeah, we all have it. Every decision you make is a collaboration, and you know, organizationally, you'll choose to walk in one direction or another. Josh's year as a free agent, I met with Josh, I met with his wife, we talked through it. Obviously, Artie and the Angel upper management were heavily involved in what we were doing, and rightfully so. I mean, he's the owner of the club, it's his decision to make, and as I understand it, my position here is to manage what I've been given the ability to manage, and that's what I do. And, you know, with the Angels, we did our best to put as good a team around the core players as we could. I think the core players were outstanding, and they were easy to build around. And you know, as Artie told me at the time, that was his decision to make, and we are going to build forward in a positive way. As a team leader, as a team player, and as an organizational architect, it's my job to then go figure out a way how the other players fit with those players. And hopefully that's what we achieved.
See you later!